Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West, West.
This is our November 22nd reviews episode number one, in which we will be discussing Far Sector number one, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 50, but first we have...
We've got Deadpool number one by Kelly Thompson, and our penciler is Chris Pachalo.
Yay! He's got, like, seven inkers on this book, right? Like, two? Like,
oh, dude, there's a shit ton, actually. I didn't even realize that. Well, the other part of it is, too, is if you look at the cover art, there's two names, and then you've got variant covers, and then you've got all the inkers, and I'm like, no wonder they had to make it a full fucking page.
I looked at that, and I was like, yeah, Bachalo's art is so crazy, they need that many people to try to decipher it.
They're like, okay, I think the line goes here.
Right.
The shading over on this left spot. They're all just, like, in a group at one panel.
That's awesome. Okay, so, but I wasn't the only one that was, like, slightly confused with his, like, choices and, like, perspectives and layouts.
I love Bachalo. So, for me, I get maybe confused, but I just dive into it and being like, all right, where are we going here?
Not to say I didn't like it, but there was just panels where I'm, like, looking at it, I'm like, what is actually going on?
It took me, I think, 10 minutes to realize that his Christmas hat was made out of his mask.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is... So he pulled his mask up, and then I'm like, no, wait. Am I drunk? Where am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody
also,
help me.
What? Why is, like, a few pages in black and white, and then it jumps
flashback.
Back into full...
Flashback.
Oh, that was a flashback.
Yeah,
okay.
It took me a minute to decipher that, too, because I was like, what?
He was running through his birthday after he got torn in half.
Okay, so the part on the... Yeah, okay. I got you now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like,
I like...
Yeah. Spine, it's back together.
That was great. I would just kidnap some mailman to have someone to talk to.
Right.
You know, as funny as that is, it's actually, like, really telling as Deadpool as a character.
I'm kind of curious because there was, like, a run quite a few years ago where it was just, like, depressing Deadpool, and I'm wondering if they're going to sprinkle that in here, like, quite a bit, because he's talked about, like, in that run, it was a lot of, he's like, I just want to die, and he couldn't die.
Right. Yeah, there is
a lot of that in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think that's one of the interesting aspects of the character, is whether or not he's depressed about his existence in addition to...
Well, I think there was a mention in this one where he's kind of like, well, he straight up said that he's like, if I could die, I would. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy the fact that that made me sad.
Right?
Yeah. He says it a couple times, actually. He alludes to, like, really wanting to die, but...
Oh my god, I didn't realize that his little arm was actually growing back there.
Yeah. It took me a minute to realize.
I don't think I caught on that either. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's got... I thought the sleeve was just torn, and then I was kind of looking at it, and then I realized that he was kind of growing fingers.
Yeah.
Right. He's got
a tiny arm. Little half arm.
It just makes me think of Deadpool 2 when he's walking... When he gets ripped in half and he has to...
Sorry.
Video games.
Yeah, right. He has to grow himself back.
Well, it's like the first one when he gets his hand, when he cuts his hand off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to feel so big in this.
Okay. I have to say the biggest gift that we have for Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds, because it makes reading Deadpool comics that much easier
I
hear his voice and his
cadence. Exactly. I read it and it's perfect. Oh, and also, we can't go through this without mentioning, like, the best... cameo ever by Jeff the Land Shark.
Oh, God.
And also Gwenpool, I guess, too. Why not?
That was really hard when I was doing the
it just made me sad.
The info thing for Griffin on Wednesday, to be like, I don't want to spoil the fact that Gwenpool is in here for people, but I want to show it because I think it's hilarious.
It wasn't funny.
I was mostly
sad.
But I think, Jeff is funny.
Well, Jeff is funny, but, like,
Jeff is hilarious.
The whole reason that she gives it to him is because she's, like, afraid that she is gonna cease to exist because nobody cares about her anymore, and she needs to give Jeff to Deadpool so he'll survive long without her.
Okay.
Which and I will say,
yes, come on.
There's, like, the three panels where she jumps off and... You got the first one where he questions, still looks, and then he looks the other way, and I'm like, I'm dead on the inside, man. Little land shark wants his friend.
This is the problem. Is like, I wish I would have spent more time reading this. Pause on it a little more.
But it looks like Jeff is going to be a prominent part of this book from now on, which makes me extremely happy.
I also like talking about
chewing on me.
Talking about Gwen is the idea that, like, they actually pulled in parts of her actual storytelling. You know,
I like how. I like the like, character box, too, where it's like, Gwynpool, less like a Deadpool than you might think, but also more like a Deadpool than you might think. Yeah. I was like, that pretty much sums up, like, her character perfectly.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's not close to Deadpool, but also it's super close to Deadpool. Yeah.
I always love when they have to put, like, they can't do apples. I'm pretty sure he's chewing on his ass. I'm sorry. but they always have to do the, like, if they have, like, an apple product, they always have to change it, and this one's a pineapple.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I love all the off-brands.
Yeah, right.
That's, like, low-key one of my favorite things in media in general, mm-hmm. is when the, like, off-brand stuff that they come up with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun with this. It feels like the beginning of a story, right? Yeah. Like that's.
I'll probably read the second one, to be honest.
I will say the ending part made me really sad too. I was like, I liked that. That was rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also coming off of our next comic that we're going to talk about, Kraven the Hunter, was a little out of place for me.
Should we talk a little bit about Elsa Bloodstone, because she was pretty awesome in this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who is that? I don't know who
I love Elsa Bloodstone, but she's, like, so underutilized as a character. Yeah. She's been around for, like, ever.
I mean, we all know that Marvel's at, like, small void. Like, I know some stuff, and I can, like, randomly yank things out, but it's pretty few and far between.
My knowledge of continuity is... Yeah, but yeah.
I want to know someone.
She's just a monster hunter. Yeah. She's like, I don't even think she has any powers or anything like that. She's just a badass with a rifle.
Yep.
And she kills monsters.
Terrifying. This little arm going back.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tiny arm is terrifying.
Is terrifying.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm interested to see. Oh, that's cool. I didn't even notice that, but the last page is black and white with, like, the red...
The blood?
Santa Claus
that's,
hat.
I wonder if that's,
oh,
like,
it's a Santa Claus
hat. I'm kind of wondering if that's going to be a theme in this.
Which is reminiscent of the beginning. Opening, mm-hmm. Yeah, that I was confused about.
It's okay, we're all confused. Probably. Yeah. More than
that. Perhaps.
Mayhaps.
Anywho.
Mayhaps.
Well, with that said, I guess let's move on to our next, one, which I definitely... like, yanked Matt and Kat's arms until they, you know, were in precarious positions to read The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, issue number 50, written by Ryan North with art by Derek Charm and Erica Henderson, and colors by Rika Renzi. So, obviously, for listeners of the show, I like Squirrel Girl a lot.
They had no idea. This is all news to us.
So, before, like, we jump into it and I take over the conversation, what'd you guys think about it? Just initial, like, impressions?
If I'm being really, really, really honest, if you just jump into this, I don't think anything's going to be as funny as it's supposed to be. Because I think I chuckled once and I was like, I don't know what's happening.
I felt very emotional about stuff, but yeah, I was like, there's so many, like, random crazy things happening. But the real takeaways I had were, wow, I really should read more Erica Henderson stuff. Also, how long did Doreen actually hold Mjolnir, and is there a comic book of that? Because I want that one.
Yes. Okay. It's the original, it's the OGN... Squirrel Girl beats up the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
And that's how she stops her evil clone self from...
No spoilers, yeah. But I think I need to get that.
Now. Sorry, I guess...
Because that's Erica Henderson doing the art on that one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I need to do that.
Yep.
And then,
she doesn't really talk about that, though, because she's actually pretty humble. That's how that was a joke from, like, a previous one.
Also, I'm laughing at myself for not realizing that the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl logo is actually a squirrel running on the front cover.
What?
And I never noticed it.
It took you 58 issues to notice that?
Seriously.
All right. Not going to say anything.
Also, I like Galactus. And I don't think I've ever really realized that he has a big G on his chest, so maybe that was something that I'd just done for this comic.
It just makes me think back to the Scotty Young cover. Yeah, you always put, if you're a bad guy, you always put the letter of your first name on there.
Yeah.
Dude, that was the best at the end when Nancy's like, it's pretty dope that you have Galactus as a life coach.
That made me sad, though. Like, Galactus, it was really, like, poignant, especially after reading Silver Surfer Black.
It's okay, I'm dead on this one.
Right? Like, Galactus is such a troubled character. character that really he made me sad in this, and like knowing the story from that that Donnie Cates did, I'm like, man, Galactus, like, we could do a really, really intense kind of sad Galactus story,
especially for like the final issue. And his whole spiel essentially is like, we're together now, and so therefore we'll always be together because, like, we have this memory and memories are eternal, and as long as we
still remember this. Basically, honestly, for me, it was a big kind of, like, throwback to Gwenpool, the last issue of Gwenpool.
Yep.
Yeah, it definitely, like, had a lot of those similar, like, thematic sentiments. And then that's pretty much, like, and then I really like that, too, because when they're sitting together and there's that big splash page, that's mm-hmm. essentially Rico Renzi redoing Erica Henderson's, like, first meeting of Galactus and Squirrel Girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that exact shot. So, like,
interesting. Yep.
The part that had me, I had to read this in two sittings because I was literally crying too hard laughing at when it's like, the power cosmic, yes, the power cosmic can make a rock so heavy that even itself can't lift, I'm already messing up the joke.
Yes, the power cosmic can make a rock so heavy that even the power cosmic cannot lift it. And yes, the power cosmic does this constantly. The power cosmic is that good. I was like, so I found all of those funny, and as I was reading them, I'm like, man, this really like I don't know the approach to reading the book. Like, part of me wanted to go read the book completely and then go back and read those individually, like, as their own things. But they do pertain to the particular page. But they took me out of, like, the pacing of the book.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
I think that's just not, I haven't read enough Squirrel Girl, so I don't know that cadence of reading style.
I think that's kind of fair, but, like, yeah, I don't know.
Don't jump in at issue 50.
This is my
honest opinion. Don't jump there.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, you can read the last story arc. All of Squirrel Girl is essentially four issue arcs with a one shot that like finishes it up. Okay. So it's like pretty easily consumable.
I have this. I mean, I would like to go back and read more. I like Ryan North's writing style, and Derek Charm's pretty good. You see him compared to Erica Henderson, which I think was. I'm glad that she came back to do a little bit of pages for this, but like you compare the two art styles, and she's pretty far past the artistic approach that Derek Charm has.
See, a lot of people don't like her art style, and I can kind of see why, but I really like it for all the reasons that people don't.
Yeah, I love her brushwork. Like the thick to thin is something I just really enjoy, and. The cartooniness of her characters lets them be very distinct from one another. I think that's really cool.
Did you happen to read the letters page at all in this, or the outward notes?
I started looking at some of the pictures in there. But.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the comic, the two-panel that she drew in the end?
No!
Oh, Erica Henderson's, because at the end there's, like, outros from all the creative team. Ryan North, obviously, Eric Henderson, and Derek Charm. But Erica's is just a two-panel illustration of her sitting with Squirrel Girl.
Wow.
And, God, is it harsh. Just, I know I haven't been around much lately, but I want you to know that we started something incredible. And we'll all be thinking of you after you're gone.
That is. That's pretty, like... Makes me want to know why she left the book, you know, like that's...
I think she's working on other stuff. I mean, she still did all the covers mm-hmm. after she left, and...
She did Assassination Arc 1 for Assassination Nation. It's
all... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I did heaven and hell.
Yeah, wordplay.
So, you know, I don't know. Various reasons, but cool. All right.
Cool. Nice. Or I guess I'm next, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to talk about Far Sector number 1. This is a DC Young Animal title from N.K. Jemisin and Jamal Campbell. And this is a super sci-fi detective story set in way the hell out in space with lots of mythology and world building, and oh man, I just wanted to stare at every page for a very long period.
I just want to point out, like, the final page is like, she, the writer actually does science fiction novels, which, I mean, right up her alley, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing that makes me kind of, like, somewhat sad is, like, her artist picture, and this goes for any author I ever see on any books. I'm like, Jesus Christ, let them smile!
Right?
I'm like, they're selling books! They wrote things that they're happy about. Let them smile!
Why don't you read some G. Willow Wilson books, then?
Oh, nice.
She's really happy.
Oh, is she really?
Pictures. Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's always there smiling, like...
Like, it's not even just, it's just, like, any of them that I see. And then the other half of me is like, you're in a comic book. Let her smile. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think, yeah, you can't, talking about the writing, like, it really makes sense because the world building is, like, so specific.
Well, apparently I just read the little thing, too. She does fantasy, too, which is probably, I should probably read one of her books. I really like fantasy.
That makes sense, since superhero genres also essentially are sci-fantasy through and through.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and then also, yeah, I started reading Jamal Campbell from Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I liked his art in that, but it so much lends itself to, like, the space sci-fi aspects that I'm just like, all right, you need to only be doing space books now. As much as I like ground level stuff, like you are way too like lofty for that, Jamal Campbell.
Yeah
like all the sweeping shots of the city are just like perfect. I can't say anything more about
the
that.
Sky thing freaks me out. Also, these thing? Snicker ads need to die. Like, I keep...
Oh, God, yes.
I hate them so much.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I like the two-page ads because I can just skip an entire, like, section with one. But also, I don't think there should be ads in general. Because, DC, I'm already fucking paying you for the goddamn comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I would... Sold.
Yeah, right. The one thing I will say that I really enjoyed is the portion of the sky is when they churn the sky off for a second to reboot it to its proper setting, to its setting for the time of day or whatever.
Yeah.
I like the three races.
Mm, yeah.
They're, like, their way of introducing that concept.
Part of me was kind of hoping that some of them might have been a little more alien-y, but I can't see the dude with the,
with the maw covered?
Yeah. Like, I was hoping they'd be a little more human, like, alien-y than humanoid for some of them, honestly.
The Ketopli?
Mm-hmm.
The AT-ATs?
That made me laugh so hard, and I was like, how is Marvel not suing them for that one?
How is what?
Because I think technically they just did it outside of the parameter because they did. Because
they'd use the ampersand.
Oh, for AT-AT.
Yeah, the AT-AT from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, it's technically not, like, the same thing. And it also doesn't refer to, like...
Yeah, it's basically, they're, like, kind of under, I think it would be, if anything, they might be under spoof law.
Gotcha.
I can't think of what it's called. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I almost feel like, is Ketopli a, like, is there a wordplay there that I'm missing?
Ketopli?
Yeah. Because Na and AT-AT seem like colloquialisms that we use for, like, online speech.
Yeah.
Nah, brah.
Yeah.
AT-AT. I mean,
Yeah, interesting. I didn't think about that.
I can't say that I did either.
Yeah. Also, like, just what an interesting concept for, like... to initiate, like, the plot arc is this is the first murder in, like, an entire world in, like, what'd they say, 500 years?
Well, then you find out the fact that they basically, like, they've killed their feelings.
Yeah.
Well, like, at least their outward emotions.
Right.
Because, like, they are definitely, like, at each other's throats in the most, like, subtle ways possible in the council meeting.
Yeah.
Well, I think... I can't remember how it was put exactly, but, like... You can still get heated when you're in a logical debate, I guess, when it's just pure. There's no real emotion behind it. But the thing is I wonder with the council, like, I'm wondering if that stuff is also, quote-unquote, wearing off, because I think it's been going on for however long.
Yeah.
And that's why they had the first person, you know, eat someone.
Yeah, there's that sense that maybe this is the boiling point, like, finally.
Like, whatever it is that's helping them do that is not doing it, because it's been after so many generations.
Yeah.
And evolution's like, nah, that's not a good way to go, but okay, bro.
Nah, bro.
Exactly.
Also, kudos to DC and Young Animal for recognizing that you don't have to introduce a character with their fucking origin story and actually just put them in the middle of the story itself and sprinkle elements in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love origin stories because, you know, they're the heart of the characters, but sometimes you can just have the story going and then we'll get to it later.
That's kind of the other thing, too, because we've got... I'm curious where she came from. So, and I'm assuming we'll find out eventually.
Yeah, actually, the discussion with the customer, with Keith, friend of the show, that they had billed her as not being human, and I almost wonder if there's an element in this story where she's going to find out that she's not from Earth.
Because, kind of like a Naomi.
Yeah, a little, which is kind of ironic, like right. Jamal Campbell. Oh. Books. And designing a completely new character, which is kind of awesome. Or if she was hiding there for a specific reason, but she just identifies with being a human.
Hmm.
Or an earthling, I should say. If we're talking this big.
I just want to know how she keeps her hair so nice in space.
She's a lantern.
Yeah, the lantern ring.
Oh,
also, her lantern ring being all crazy special and different.
Yeah, that was the other part of it, too, is because if you, like... I don't understand her lantern ring, because it looks like it's a living organism a little bit itself.
Yeah, it changed the moment it touched her fingers. It changed shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they say, and this may not have been in the issue, it's not. It actually says it's part of the like question page, like the letters page, where Jemison talks about her ring. So among other things, her ring doesn't have to be charged with the GL power battery. Because of that, however, it's got some significant limitations relative to other GLs.
Because that's the other thing, too, is I'm, like, looking at her gloves, and I'm, like...
It doesn't need to be recharged.
Yeah. I'm, like, look at that. They gave her, would you call them green knuckles?
Oh, yeah. I really love that. Like, I don't know. She essentially has, like, fucking brass knuckles.
Right.
And gloves.
Little dusters that are built into the gloves.
Her whole, like, yeah, her whole design is, like... really cool, like from the opening when she's like in the rain and she has like the
green glowing coat,
raincoat. Yeah. Like that was for like, you know, like design is typically not my strong suit, but I was like, that's a really cool design.
Well, the other half of me is like, and usually it's just a thing for me when they always have the like side belts that don't do anything, that just I'm like, what is the point of this belt?
Right?
It looks nice, it's cool, but why is it there?
It's literally just fashion. Like,
that's fashion.
And it's like the hard part that I have sometimes.
Because there is sometimes, like, there is some of that stuff where, like, you have to just throw it away and be like, well, because it looks fucking cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just give it up. You're like, who cares?
Shut up, it looks cool. God.
Yeah, this is not pouches, you know? We're not in the 1990s anymore.
Oh, my God.
There's a whole Squirrel Girl arc where they go into space and Loki's like, you can't go into space looking like that. You need to be, like, much more fabulous. And, like, he changes their outfits to be, like, these crazy, like, space outfits.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I do, like, one more comment on the design is, I've always said that the space cop thing needs to be leaned into a little bit
space
more
cop.
And I really feel like with her design she's a space cop. She's not even wearing a mask, it's a construct visor, which I think is really cool.
Like, yeah, that's... and she really only has that as like sunglasses essentially, because
right.
She takes it off a couple times.
She does. She uses it as like a defense mechanism, so you can't really see what her eyes are doing, sort of thing.
That's
like,
a good point. It's like
Like a Commissioner
like
Gordon.
Poker players
wear sunglasses. Yeah, you have that whole like it reflects enough and it blocks enough of her actual eyes that you don't you're getting less emotion from her.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other part of me also wonders, because if you look how far out they are, is if it helps her catch other things that might be outside her peripherals.
Yeah, and it also probably has, since I think it's a construct. I can't really tell if it's like. I don't know how the rings work. They're sci-fi magic.
I don't know how that ring works, so.
Yeah. It's like if it has, like, UI, like, heads-up displays of things to, like, warn her of things in the periphery, too, because of how wide the glasses are, too. So they literally can...
Well, yeah, because it's like...
Look over here.
They're over her ears, but for some reason...
Yeah. Great design, though. I really, really
oh, no, and I'm not doubting it by any things, but it's kind of the questions of, I think, I wonder if they're going to actually, if we're, like, reading too far into this, and they're like, yeah, no, these glasses are dope, yo. And like,
yeah, they're just, like, her hanging side belt. They're just cool. Yeah. I also really, like, I was reading this, and I was like, ooh, in who, Jemison, like, it's a good, like, sort of, thing to be like that she doesn't really know anything about forensics research.
So right.
Like, yeah. Jim, so that, like, she is an author, like, can't really get caught. People won't be like, that's not how you should do this. It's actually, like, 8 presses instead
right.
of 7. Like, you got that so wrong. So she can just be like, no, yeah, it's part of the character.
Yep, she doesn't, they don't know.
Like, I don't want to say it's laziness because it's like hardly that at all. But
no,
it's just
extremely
like,
intelligent.
It's using your limitations as part of the story.
Working smarter, not harder.
Working
smarter,
exactly.
Not harder. Yeah, and so I think I was like, that is just.
She's like, well,
great...
for 16 months before I did this, I looked into forensic science.
Right, exactly, and didn't do anything else.
Most authors, I actually wouldn't be surprised.
Oh yeah, I just don't understand how you have the time. You know, you got to eat too. I'm gonna go on this research trip and not be writing.
Feed your brain, not your stomach. Oh man, great book.
Yeah, I was not surprised, but I was happy about it.
Yeah, I love Young Animal as a line. Like that's one of my favorites. All of DC's like sublines are so good right now.
Yeah, they do. They're doing a really great job. Mm-hmm. They're doing a really great job of letting creative people be creative.
I also agree. Yeah, it's soulful. It's nice. It's so nice. I'm just like, let them do their stuff, and they're like, okay.
Yeah. You can kind of tell Jamal Campbell is like super crushing in the back of this book because he's like, this is the second character I've been able to create.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because he was like a cover artist. I mean, we know him from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He'd been doing the covers for that for a long time.
Oh, really? Is that what he's like built from?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, shit, he's doing a book? No, he's doing a second book? He's creating 2 characters? What?
Yeah,
now,
that's right. He's over there like,
if only DC would realize that with Dan Mora.
There's a conspiracy out there I have about that one, because if you look at his bibliography of what he's actually done interiors on, it's very specific, so...
Oh, we're going to talk about that. I'm ready to listen to that Tin Hat Theory after this.
All right. Well, with that, I guess.
Oh, great book.
Yeah, join us for the next half of reviews.
You're right.
Yeah, stick around. Woo-hoo. All right. Well, let's say bye then, huh?
Bye.